Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are Bike Sport Radio. This is Robert. And sorry for the delay. We were supposed to start at 4, but this is L.A. And, well, nothing in this world ever goes right in L.A. Give myself plenty of time to fight the traffic. And, well, you know, yeah, I lost that battle. How's everybody doing? Summer's finally here, I think. Well, I hope. I have no idea. It's pretty hot outside. It's actually hot in the studio, too. Hope everybody's been getting your rides in either early or late. I know the races go when they go, so you're either going to go early in the heat or late. It's been, this weather's really been the topic of a lot of people riding out there. Just got to really hydrate and pre-hydrate, hydrate afterwards, and see where you end up going. So be careful out there, and I tell a lot of people to go ahead and, you know, set your timer, and kind of the rule of thumb is drink every, you know, 10 to 15 minutes normally, but in this kind of weather, you know, drink closer intervals, especially when there's high humidity. And I know I don't need to tell all of you this, but you know, some of you kind of still forget, and even though you're veterans, even when there's a cloud cover, you really need to drink more water. Yeah, you tend to lose more water when it's cloudy, so make sure that you keep hydrated properly and, you know, and not just water. I mean, everybody, I've been on a couple rides lately where I've been, you know, they're like, well, I'm drinking water, but why am I still bonking? And I said, well, part of that is because when's the last time you ate? Oh, well, I ate this morning. Yeah, well, okay. And we've been on the road now for 2 hours, and you have had nothing but a gel. And gel's not solid, so, you know, I found that throwing a solid bar like a bonk breaker or something that's got some substance to it will actually help you not get sick from too much water. So it tends to happen. We drink, and then, you know, you end up feeling like, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I can't, you know. So, just eat, drink, be merry. And, you know, there's just a point in the day when you got to say, it's just too bloody hot. I'm not going out. And we all, you know, it's all about getting the training miles. And you know, I understand, believe me. I'm actually back on the bike. So, you know, I am currently trying to knock out miles and try to get back to where I was before I got hurt. And, you know, I'm trying to get out early in the morning, but yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't matter. You're going to finish in the heat. So I think I did 25 this morning, and I went through two bottles in 25. So, and I usually don't drink a lot. I'm pretty good with water. Excuse me while I adjust this mic, because it seems to be in my way. I can't get to what I need to do. So if you hear this, that's what it is. It's this mic wire. Oh, see? I'm telling you, man. It's got a mind of its own. I think this place is haunted. I love live radio. It's just awesome. So much fun. Anyway, so what have we got going on? Well, there's a got a law that's been it's up in the state right now for e-bikes. And anybody who was listening last week is talking about that. We have, you know, they're trying to define where an e-bike can really go. And what they've done is broken it up into three different categories of bike based on whether it's assist or full full electric non-assist, and what the maximum speed of the bike is. And, you know, I think that's our... That's going to be the big thing is, manufacturers are going to start having to, you know, limit top speeds on the bike, because what's going to separate the bike from the motorcycle, you know? I mean, if I have a bike that's going to do 45 or 50 miles per hour in e-bike mode, at that point, it's a bike. It's not a bike anymore. It's a scooter, I mean, or a motorcycle. So they're working on it. They're trying to get the wording correct, and they're trying to make sure that it, you know, sets this precedent, because New York and California they're having a lot of issues with trying to figure out the classification of the e-bike, where it's going to fit. The other thing that's going to do is going to allow them on the bike paths, whereas right now many of the bikeways and bike paths are for non-motorized vehicles. Well, therefore, e-bike's a motored vehicle, so they technically cannot be on a bike path. Well, like I said, this is why they're doing this, because I don't know about you, but I've been on many bike paths, and I've seen many e-bikes go zipping on by me. Like I said, talked about it last show. So they're definitely working on getting this all cleared up. So I think it went through the first step in the process, and it's getting ready to go into the next house there for approval. And if you want to get more info, it's a late start, so everything's kind of popping. And of course, you know, there we go, electric bike bill. So yeah, here's from People for Bikes sent this out. Electric bike bill progressing in California, however stalled in New York. Go figure, huh? So anyway, there's two bills that will modernize California and New York's vehicle and traffic laws for electric bikes. So that's their goal. In California, it's AB, as in boy, 1096. And it passed the state assembly with a 74-0, 74 favor and 0 against. So now it's reaching, it sailed through committee, now it's on the floor. So now it's going off to state senate. Now this is where it's going to have a bigger hurdle, because the senate, you know how that is. But it has to be heard by the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee, so they're going to be listening to that. They probably already did hear it, said late June, so we'll see if they are on time or not. And it defines the classes of electric bike. Class 1 would be a 20-mile-per-hour top-speed assisted speed and, you know, pedal assist bike. Class 2 would be a 20-mile-per-hour top-speed and throttle assist. So I think this is going for those whole, you know, throttle e-bike. And then class 3 would be a e-bike with a 28 mile per hour assisted top speed with pedal assist. And here's where we start getting into the maxes, where it's got a max output of 750 watts. So it's kind of nice to do that. So now it's gonna for all the, you know, companies who are creating e-bikes, for them to design, you know, the parameters and stuff, it's going to help them kind of fit in. So hopefully that will settle that and we won't have all these other problems. But you know what, rules and laws are made to be broken, so here we go. In New York, however, they're having an issue with it, so it is stalled in New York right now, but hopefully they will get that going, so we shall see. Yeah, e-bikes are new. I was talking to a couple of people yesterday about them out on the trails. We were out mountain biking. Such a beautiful night last night. God, it was so gorgeous to be out there on the trails. And, it was hot all day, miserable all day. Just wanted to sit on the couch and sleep, which I can't do right now because I'm on vacation. But, it was just like, oh, God, do I want to go ride? Do I want to go ride tonight? Oh, I just want to sit here. But I did, and let me tell you, it was worth it. Oh, such a beautiful night. A nice cloud cover come in, just cooled it all off. No sun beating down on us. It was a beautiful night. But we were talking about the e-bike up here in the trails. And we were like, yeah, you know, we just had just finished climbing. And we were on a plateau, chilling, resting, and just talking. And then we started saying, you know, what would happen if we'd been going up that hill and some guy on an e-bike, pedal-assist e-bike, just goes flying by us, you know, 10 miles per hour, 15 miles per hour, up the hill? And, you know, what one of my friends said, he turned around and says, you know what? He says, you have to earn it. You have to earn this. And, you know, as we're taking the sights in, we realize, yeah, we climb to earn what's at the top. And it just takes it away. So I don't know. I don't mind the e-bike in the city and the commuter, and I'm all for it. But I think when it comes down to trail time, I'm really worried about it. I think it's going to change a lot of the ways we... I think it's going to turn our majestic trails into more of a circus than they already are. They're going to really have to do something about that. I think we've only touched, and like I said, we've only touched upon the beginnings of the e-bike fiasco. So we'll see how this goes. All right. And had a busy... Whoa, that was a busy June full of racing. Oh my gosh. We had the Adrenaline Circuit Race in Chula Vista. We had the Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. We had the GMR Time Trial. We had the CBR Criterium in Carson. We had the 805 in Lompoc. We had the Baja Bike Race. Tecate do Ensenada. Yeah, I mentioned that last time. What else do we have in here? The Elite and Junior National Road Championships. Oh my gosh, I gotta forget that up in Lake Tahoe. Yep, that's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of there. What else do we have? Rosanna Ranch Circuit Race was canceled for the 27th. We had the Fast Tours Training Clinic in Temecula. That's not a race, of course. And then on the 28th, we had the Ontario Four Corner Criterium. So let's see. Let's pull out some names from the Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Well, let's see who's actually turned the results in. How's that? Let's look at some of the elites, junior national champions, and see who's going to be kicking our butts in the near future. You see this unfamiliar face, and they're going to come up by us and roll on by. Right? Oh, that little kid. What's a kid doing here? Yeah. I don't do that anymore, because I already know better. All right. There we go. So let's pick an age and pick an event. So we had road races, time trials, and a criterium. Let's take a look at some of the road racers. All right, and let's do the... pick one of each. So we'll go with the junior 17. Men, juniors, 17, 18, cat, 1, 2, 3. Let's pick some of these guys out. All right. Looks like Jonathan Brown out of Covington, Tennessee, and his teammate, Gage Hecht, from Parker, Colorado. It looks like they took first and second, followed by William Kaiser out of Atlanta, Georgia. Those are the top three in that category. Adrian Costa was fourth, and Micah Milne out of Greenville, South Carolina. And one Californian cracked the top five, so that's good. Good job. Support! There you go. So yeah, that was our top five for the junior 17-18 Cat 1-2-3s. Now, why did my page just do that? Oh, love technology. Where was I? Ah, yes. So, follow. Let's see. Now let's pick the women's categories. Let's go with the U23 women Pro Cat 123. Sounding lucky today with that. And it looks like that category was won by Kelly Caitlin out of Arden Hills for North Star Development. Second was Monica Volk out of Kempton for Riptide Cycling. Kate Wilson out of L.A., Velo Club La Grange, took third. Catherine Shields was fourth, and Allison Arensman was fifth. Kind of a small field there, kind of. You get some more women out there. Let's see here. So, a couple of categories there. Let's see. Let's go to the men U23. And that was won by Keegan Swerbal, followed by Gregory Daniel and Colin Joyce. And we had no Californians there. Alrighty. Let's see. Step on back. So yeah, that was our nationals. Some of our nationals of road race day one. Let's look at our road race day two. More of the younger juniors were participating this day, so let's give them some love, shall we? Let's go with I always like the little guys, so we'll go with the women junior 9 through 10. Looks like we had two show up, and that was won by Lily McLeod out of Brooksville, Florida. And Brooklyn Suarez out of Phoenix. And I guess we had another candidate who didn't make it. It's kind of a tough haul for the juniors. And these were the junior 9 to 10. So let's see how the boys did. Here we go. These are the boys 9 through 10. That's Walter Rozek out of Folsom. Evan Ulrich out of San Diego. And Presley Evans out of Virginia. This is the top three there. And then we can go up a couple ages here. Let's give them all some credit here. They work hard. Junior men, 11 to 12. That was won by William Sharp, followed by Nicholas Petrov and another Nicholas Ruffiningo, I believe, out of Florida. So that's pretty good for them. Good job for those guys. And a little more in the women's junior 11 to 12. Had definitely some more entries here. Michaela McPherson out of Corona took first for South Bay Wheelman. Olivia Cummins out of Fort Collins, Colorado was second. And Marie Grassi out of Columbus was third. Good job to these young ladies. And the 13 to 14 year olds, you know those guys. Those are the ones that have so much energy and they go flying by you and then explode. Love doing that. Men's junior 13 to 14 was won by, Lucas Borgoin out of Texas. Gianni Lamperti out of Sebastopol was our California rep there. And W. Harrison Guy out of Suwanee, Georgia. So those are our top three in the men junior 13 to 14. And then we have women's junior 13 to 14. That was run by Megab J. Strub, followed by Katie Klaus and Jane Tolis. You can get more results for the other venues they had there at usacycling.org. They have all the results posted for the Junior National Championships. Why do I feel like I'm missing something? I know there's some more races going on somewhere. Let's see what's coming up, actually. In July, looks like we've got quite a bit happening here. Got the San Luis Rey Road Race in Banzai. Followed by July 11th. Let me make sure I get that right. That race sounds familiar. Like I'm probably supposed to be there. Knowing me. So. Let's see, April, May, June. We're done with June, right? Yeah, we're in July. Yes, happy 4th coming up, everybody. Be safe, be sane. Don't blow anything off. Don't burn down our beautiful hillsides. Be smart. All right, July 11th, yeah, San Luis Rey Road Race. Great race, nice weather. Last year it rained on us. It's an interesting adventure. So you never know what you're going to get there. The year before, I think it was sunny and hot. The following year, it rained. Hey, you know, only the real will survive, the real writers. Anyways, the next day in Dominguez Hills, you got the CBR Criterium. That's on the 12th. Then July 19th, we got the Ontario Grand Prix. Right, I'm knocking knobs and stuff on this thing. And, what else we got? We got another crit in Carlsbad on the 19th. Remember I mentioned promoters. You guys, come on. You know, get together and plan this out. You're not stepping on each other's feet. So those two are on July 19th. Then, the 21st through the 26th, we got the Masters Track National Championships in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So those will be the track championships. And then on the 26th, we got the San Marcos Criterium, which is actually going to be the Masters State Championships. And that'll be in San Marcos on the 26th of July. So make sure, if you're up to the task, to show up there. And who knows, maybe you'll go home with a really cool jersey and a title. All right, these are all the road events. What do we got for mountain bike? Well, Kenda Cup series is done. Most of the that series is over, but we got a few summer series going on right now. We have the Over the Hump in Orange County is on the summer break for a couple weeks. They should be back racing Tuesdays, midweek racing. For, I think, one of the biggest events coming up, and I think everybody should go and attend, is the Grizzly 100. It's a national ultra endurance race, along with the Big Bear Mountain Bike Grand Fondo. This is going on July 25th up in Big Bear. Good old friend Derek Herman and company is running this event. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of Big Bear putting on this race. Before I get further into this, shout out to Tinker Juarez. I'm not sure if any of you have heard, how many of you have heard, but he had a nasty spill and fractured his pelvis. So, good healing thoughts to you, Tinker. I already saw your walker on Facebook, and you need some nice grips on there and some stickers. And before you know it, that rocker, you'll be rocking that rocker out there. Wait, did I say that rocker? Right, that. Tongue twister. You'll be rocking that walker up and down the street and up those hills in no time. So happy, quick healing to you, Tinker. Take care of yourself. And we'll see you on the trail real soon. But came to mind because as you open up the Big Bear Grand Fondo page, there's a picture of Tinker just having his way with the mountain. So, yeah, it's he's got some just killer events there. But you got a different ride for every level. So it's a really cool event. You'll be up at altitude, so it's going to be a little bit cooler. Air's going to be thinner, though, so you got to trade off. But you've got the terrible 10,000, 100K, 10,000 feet. You got the 70K over the top. You got the 50K, the skyline. 30K is the ridgeline, and 20K is the sky view. So you've got a distance for everybody. So I don't know. Just think about that: 60 miles and 10,000 feet of climbing. Does that just sound painful? Anyways, you can find more info about the Grand Fondo at bbvrace.com. So what is that? BravoVictorRace.com. Just type it in. You can find it. But all the directions there are there, how to register for it. That's on the 25th. Our good friends at Rim Nordic are back at it again as well. They started their summer series. And on the first race, sadly I did miss it. Still injured, so I was unable to partake. But They ordered the water drop, and they the water truck came and watered the course for everybody. I heard it was just epic conditions and hero dirt, and let me tell you, they've been needing it. It was so dry last year, so. But their schedule for the 2015 mountain bike racing schedule for Rim Nordic Racing. Cross-country events take place June 28th, which just passed last weekend. July 12th is race number 2. And August 16th is race number 3. And they're only doing a 3-race series, so that'll be the final race there. August 2nd is the SoCal Mountain Stage Race. Love it. If you haven't done it, you need to get out there and do it. It's a one-day event this time, so you don't have to do 2 days of traveling. It's gonna test your endurance, that's for sure. It's a hill climb event, a super D, a dirt crit, and cross country race. So, nothing like killing you all in one day. Come on, it'd be awesome if they actually made that a night event, that XC or that Criterium in the dark. I'll have to talk to Bev and the company about it and see if they're willing to try that. All right. And new this year at Rim Nordic is the Enduro Series. They started doing that, and they're having a great turnout. May 17th was the first one. June 27th was the second Enduro. July 11th will be the third. August 15th and September 19th will be the final in the Enduro Series. So... then the Autumn Cup Classic weekend, Saturday and Sunday, September 19th and 20th. Happens to be my birthday weekend, so I might hopefully make it. It's all about the bones and the body. They choose to heal on time. So you can find out more information at rimnordic.com and go on to their racing schedule. And that will give you all the times for that. You can also check Facebook. Most promoters now are on Facebook, so... you get more up-to-date information there. And I am happy to report that our good old friends are back. The Hammer Time series, the Triple Crown, is back. Little birdie had told me they weren't going to come back this year, but another big old bird told me they're back. So yeah, they're going to be putting on a 3-race series here in the San Gabriel Valley. Fun little course. I just love the atmosphere there. It's really great time, and the course is a little challenging, not in the technical aspect, but it's in the city, and it's pretty vertical and can hurt you. So their tentative schedule now is September 27th will be Bonelli Park. October 11th will be Glendora, South Hills Park. And then the 24th, yes, still hot as heck, but Turn and Burn 6-hour mountain bike endurance event will take place at San Dimas. Looking forward to that. And then in November 1st to be exact, the Fat Tire Classic held at Mount San Antonio College. So there we go. All right, some more information there, triplecrownseries.com. Get the schedule. Oh, I hope I'm not missing anybody. Let's see here. You know how it goes. So last show, we started doing our whatchamacallit, our interviews from Sea Otter, and got a couple more. I can get to the right page on my player here. In case anybody didn't hear last time I was out, someone swiped my iPod, and in that whole mess was a bunch of stuff I had from Sea Otter, and well, you know how that can go, and it did. Anyways, I finally just broke down and bought one, and it turns out that they lied, and it had been dropped in the water, so kind of worked. It sounded really weird the last time I used it. But anyways, gonna finish up a couple of our interviews. We don't have too many left here. We've got some stuff from Morsa Designs, Barfly, found a small company called Revive, and the Sports Basement. Whenever you're up in the and Skirt Lube. They were funny. I love that one. Anyways, we'll play that one in a bit here for you. Maverick, maybe I'll start off with Skirt Lube. Now let's go with. I'm in control, right? I can pick what I want to pick. There's no producers and directors telling me what to do and what not to do. Let's hear from this guy here at Sports Basement. Let's see here.
And it's not just a regular cycling story. He's actually got a pretty good story behind it. I think if you're up in the Bay Area, look him up if you need something. But I'll let him tell you a little more about his stores.
How are you doing? Sports Basement is a store founded in 1998 that actually is a full sporting goods store based out of endurance athletes. They have full bike shops inside every store. We have full triathlon departments. We also have a huge rental operation for both snow skis, camping, and bicycle parts. We rent open water wetsuits. So if you find yourself in the Bay Area, I recommend going to one of our stores. The easiest one to go find is right across from Chrissy Field in San Francisco's Presidio. There you'll find 80,000 square feet of amazing performance athletic gear.
And what he neglected to tell you, but I'm going to go ahead and fill you in, they actually are certified green in a couple of the stores they own. They recycle, they reuse, they give a lot of their proceeds to good charity causes. Just support the local brick-and-mortar stores, and this definitely sounds like one we need to support. So if you're up in the Bay Area, you're up there racing, and you forgot something, look them up, stop by, and spend your money there. I think it's for a good cause.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Steve, for everything you do.
So that was the Sports Basement. Yeah, it was really cool. I ran into them, like, the last day of Otter, and they were actually there repping CD shoes, so I was like, oh, I'll stop by here. And then I start talking to them more, and they were all like, yeah, we have this chain of stores, and we reuse all this old stuff laying around. That's how they build their stores. And, you know, everything up there in the Northern Bay Area is, you know, really conscientious of the environment. So they really made sure that, you know, using very efficient lighting and making sure that you know, they're not wasting. So really cool stores, well stocked. They try to carry everything that, you know, that rider would need or want. We all know it's, I mean, that's hard for shops to do. So it's good if you're in the, you know, San Francisco Bay Area. It's called the Sports Basement. Now, the next item is, before I get to the good stuff, I think it's the good stuff too. It's called Revive. And one of those things, you know, when I go to these shows, I'm just looking for that odd item that has a great purpose. And here we go. I think most of us will probably want this. So it's called Revive.
All right, great object I found here for you bike riders. You always tend to kill your phones with all your tracking. Nice little slim, compact energy source here, but I'll let the main guy in charge here from Revive My Power, Michael, he's going to tell you about his power bank here.
All right, Michael.
Okay, hey everybody, this is Michael with Revive My Power. And as Roberto said, what we offer here is a very slim, compact, lightweight, portable power pack. It's 3,800 milliamps. It'll charge any device out there in the market that accepts a USB. Typical iPhone 5 would charge about 1 to 1.5 times. And for all you mobile individuals out there that depend on lightweight, this is actually the device for you. It's light, compact, easy to store. You won't even know it's there, but the one thing you can assure yourself is that you're going to have power when you need it. It's surge protected, and it'll last once you have the charge on the device, the power pack itself, you can go 2 months before you even decide to use it, and it's going to be there 100% juice. So check us out online, revivemypower.com. We're going to be opening up a retail online store soon, and you'll be able to purchase your devices there.
So currently, where do you get them now? Do you buy them direct, or are we selling them to a distributor? You sell them to the stores? Where, if I wanted to go buy one right now, besides being here at Sea Otter, where else would I go get them?
Well, currently what we do is we're a mobile-type company. We go to festivals. We're slated for about 25 festivals throughout the U.S. with the expansion into the international market next year. Currently, where you'll find us is a lot of music festivals. So Sea Otter is something a little bit different for us, but we'll be looking to grow into like the Aegean race and some of the other well-known races as well. Other than that, within the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month from now, we're going to have an online store so you can directly order from ourselves. And if you're interested in bulk purchasing, we can actually work with companies in that regard as well.
Sounds good. And so far, I picked one up, threw it in. It's perfect size for a jersey pocket. Attach it to your phone. Stick it in your pocket. You can run all your tracking programs, your Stravas, everything. You're not going to run out of time. As an endurance rider that I do my 6-hour and 12-hour races, this is perfect to keep my phone from dying. So, Michael, thanks for the info. Check it out, everybody, at revivemypower.com.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, the Revive unit, actually, if you go on to the Facebook page in 1 second here, it's super slim, super light, and one thing I've been hearing about a lot of these little power packs is that they get really hot when they're charging. Now, I have not experienced that with this one. Mind you, I usually what I'll do is I'll throw it in my back pocket on the same side that my phone is on. Now, I've talked about in the past what I use. I use the Road ID tracking app. I usually ride by myself a lot. I also use the iStock crash sensor, which is constantly updating GPS whereabouts of where I'm at. So, and then I'm playing music. So I've got three things that are really going through my phone. What I have found is that I can plug this in simultaneously and just let it go. And I've gotten over of tracking everything. I mean, I get to the end of a 6 or 7 hour day and my phone is still 3/4 of the way charged. I mean, and there's still no charge in the Revive as well. So if you go onto the Bike Sport Radio Facebook page, I put a picture of it up, and you can tell how small that is. It's super thin, comes with a plug for your phone, and you just plug it in simultaneously. Now, you can also, if you choose to, get a standard USB cord, plug it into your GoPro for extra battery life as well. So it's a 3,800 milliamp pack that's paper thin. I mean, it's really, oh, I'd say at the most 5 mil thick at the most. So, you know, nice, interesting product, and it's fairly inexpensive. So if you have issue with killing your phone batteries on your long rides and whatnot, this is the thing to take a look at. So next up, my good old friends at Barfly. And it's funny because the next two items, I actually put them together for a reason. They're both very similar items. So go ahead and listen to what our friends at Barfly have to say. And then we'll bring on the next one as well.
All right. I found the Barfly. Well, it's not a Barfly, but it's the Barfly. And I found the guy who's the mastermind, the engineer behind all the wonderful things they've made. I put a bunch of it through the ringer, and everything's passed with flying colors. He's got something new to talk about, and here it is.
All right, hi. So we have a brand new line that we're launching here at Sea Otter, and it's called the BAM system. It's the Barfly Accessory Mount System. And what it is, it's a modular system And it starts out with our road mount, which is now 1,000 Garmin 1,000 compatible. We will eventually be making heads, different heads that fit various phones and all sorts of things like that. Currently, we support Soleus, Juul, CatEye, and Garmin. And so you can interchange the heads. The material that the mount is made out of is a aerospace-grade composite. So we were using before Delrin, which was a fine material, but it didn't stand up to the intense vibrations for the other feature of the mount, which is accessories. So on the bottom of the mount, we can attach accessories such as the GoPro. We have a light mount. We have a bottle opener, of course, you know, for maybe the townie. And we have a variety of other adapters in the works that we haven't released quite yet. So, and then we have a short version and a long version. So the short version is for shorter or smaller computers, 500, 510, CatEyes, etc.
Okay.
And then, of course, we have the MTB here. Here is the GoPro mounted on there. You can take out the GoPro and introduce the flashlight mount, and that's also the attachment point for the bottle opener.
Awesome.
Yep.
This looks great. I love that interchangeability of that custom mount.
Absolutely.
That's the cycle. That's where it's got to go now.
Absolutely. Yep, definitely.
And what did you know the starting retail prices on this, on the basic kit?
Yep, so $30 for the mount itself. $15 for any attachments, and we're also going to do a bundle. So we'll have a GoPro mount bundle, a GoPro bottle opener bundle.
So you can buy whatever you want.
And then those you get a discount, and that'll be $40 for retail, the bundle.
Awesome, man. You guys still offer the same warranty you always have?
Absolutely. Lifetime warranty. You break it, we bring it in, we'll fix it.
If you're going to run, what else can you ask for? Barfly, they definitely stand behind their products. I know I've managed to smash one against a rock. We won't say how that happened, but it took a while before they finally gave away, but they stood behind their products, definitely. So awesome. And it's out now?
That's right. It's out now. If you can buy it off the website, it'll be at all of our supplier sites within a week.
And what is your website?
Barflybike.com.
Barflybike.com. Take a look at it. There'll be pictures up on the Facebook page on the broadcast. Take a look there. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks.
The Barfly. That was the last day of Interbike. Just, could you tell? It was also the end of the day, and those guys were, besides partaking in the liquid encouragement. Phone's just going crazy right now. They were slurring. They were just barely surviving that day. It was hilarious. Surprised I got the interview out of them, but walking around their tent. It's just their mounts are great. I did manage to break one, and that was a high speed crash through a section of boulders, and that wasn't the only thing that broke, besides a couple of ribs. It was just a bad day, but I called them up and. I asked them, I said, hey, look, I know you guys have this warranty, and, you know, I understand if you say no, because this wasn't a JRA, you know, it was during a race, and, yeah, I smacked that set of rocks pretty darn good. And it was funny, I said, hey, you know, you guys cover it or prorate it? And, I don't mind covering some of the, you know, cost. Or if you just say, no, you were racing and you broke it. Hey, then you raced and broke it, right? And they turn around and go like, no problem. Don't even have to send it back. I'm like, what? You want a picture of it? Here, I'll send you guys an email picture of it. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. Just give us your address. We've got a new one on the way. I was like, wow, really? And needless to say, I bought some more. And like many of you don't realize that, you know, we're still starting up here at Bike Sport Radio. I mean, we've been on for 121 shows. Today's 121 show. But we still have to, you know, like we still buy a lot of our own stuff. And you know, I try to find all the new stuff and try to get my hands on it so I can bring it to you guys. And we're getting some rep now, you know. Now they're starting to say, hey, we've heard of you. And we're starting to like what you do. And, you know, so getting out there and hustling, trying to get the new stuff for you guys. Let you guys in on some of the new technologies coming around. But, you know, with the internet and Facebook now, man, it's so fast that everything is out. And it's who's sleeping with who, you know, to get you know, that first bite, you know. So I'll tell you what, this man don't go that way. Unless she's really hot. Then I'll drop my standards. But I digress. Anyways, all right. So, also while I was there at Sea Otter, ran into another accessory mount fabricator, I guess is what I want to say. Before I go into them, though, I will tell you, Barfly did send me the new SLI series, which we talked about in the interview. And I am currently playing with them now. At first, I will say they were a little hard to understand. But I actually took some time. You know, time is important. I took some time and actually, you know, played with them for a bit to figure out the process because I was overthinking it. I said, no, this has got to be much simpler. Knowing the company like I do, there's no reason it should have been so complicated. So I played with them some more, and then all of a sudden it just, oh, look, there it is. So up on the Facebook page, you will see the new Barfly SLI mounts on the package. And then right now I'm currently testing different configurations using all of the mounts. So as I conjure these up, I'm going to be sharing them with you. Because what I have found is that these are like Legos. You can actually configure them in all these different configurations. So it's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I can do that. Oh, wait, I can do that. Oh, wait, I can, you know, I can do that. So it is going to be interesting to see what else I can conjure up. But I've come up with some interesting creations for mounting my GoPro, my Garmin, everything that I wanted to mount in one place. I could now, you know, whereas before I used to have to worry about, oh, my light's in the way and I can't do this and I can't do that. Okay, I can't mount this here because this bracket is here and things like that. Well, they've actually been able to get rid of, you know, like solve that solution. So I had my computer, my GoPro, my light, and everything was able to now fit on the bars. And everything's protected. So, like I said, if you go onto our page now, the pictures are up. That's with them in the package. And we'll be talking more about them as we progress through the show. I think our last interview for the day is going to be with... I gotta squeeze this last one into. The next one up, however, is another manufacturer and fabricator of mounts. Now, we just talked about the Barfly ones. I've gotten my hands on those. This one takes that a little one step further, but they have their purpose. It's getting really hard to choose nowadays. So the nice thing here is you've got all these creative aerospace people who are now bringing all that to the industry, and well, they've been doing it for years, but now you've got more coming out, and they're just making the simplest little things that we kind of take for granted. But remember, mother necessity, right? You know, she's the creator of everything. What do we need? We create. Anyways, next up is the interview from Morsa Designs. We'll let them talk a bit about what they provide.
Understand that.
I am here with Jeff from Morsa Designs, and he came out with a really cool solution to a cyclist's worst nightmare of having too many gadgets on his bike. So he's got a perfect solution here, and tell me more about it, Jeff.
So it's a modular system. We make one mounting arm and four different adapters. And we make an adapter for our Garmin Edge computers, adapter for your action cameras like GoPro, Garmin, Shimano. We also make a universal adapter you can use with your lights or, say, a Cat Eye computer. And then we make an adapter for Rockform phone cases. That's all adjustable, completely modular. You can run one, two, three different devices all in one mounting arm, mounted out front, behind the bars. It's all made in America, Southern California, new company.
Yeah, really, really clean designs. We're just talking about it, looking at all kinds of other configurations. We can throw whatever we can on here. Looks like a great quality product, easy to mount. One thing I like about it, only mounts with one band around the bar versus other items that carry two straps around the bar, so it doesn't take up much room in your cockpit. So looks like an awesome product.
What is $20 for a mounting arm and $10 for each adapter. So for $40, you can mount two devices.
That's a great deal. Awesome price. Price American made. What else can we ask for at Bike Sport Radio? Where can we get more info on this?
You get more info at morsadesigns.com online, and we're also distributing throughout the U.S. and the rest of the world.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the time, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Morsa Designs, former race car fabricator, when I was talking to him before the interview, he actually used to fabricate, you know, super-duper expensive pieces for race cars. And he was like me, you know, for a while there, to mount certain items using certain mounts, you just had to have all these things on your handlebars. And he decided, I'm going to simplify this whole process. Very sturdy, well thought out. And this is the problem we have nowadays, is everybody is getting good at what they're doing. And it's so hard now to compete. You know, you've got Barfly, who's out there, been there a while. Now you've got this great little startup called Morsa Designs. And like I said, very similar products, very similar price points. And it makes it so hard for the consumer to go, well, who's better? And I don't necessarily think one's better than the other. I think they have their purpose, and the rider is going to choose. But like I tell everybody, they do the job. Every item does the job. Now, does it do it to your liking? That's where you have to decide. You have to decide, is this what I want? Is this how I want it? Well, we've got great products like Squirt Lube. And yeah, I'm going to let you figure that one out, because the stickers were completely, totally inappropriate, and I was offended by them. I laughed so hard I was offended that it made me laugh. Anyways, when you listen to the interview, you can hear this guy had energy, I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm here with John, and he's got a product out here called Squirt, and I'll let him tell you what it's all about.
Squirt lubricant is the new lubricant on the market, wax-based chain lube. It's now proven irrefutably by Velo News and Friction Facts in Boulder that wax is your lubricant, much cleaner and faster than oils or solvent-based. And through long, rigorous testing through Friction Facts, they have found through wattage, the savings of wattage, that Squirt lube puts out the least amount of friction at about 3-4.5 watts, all the way up to the most, which would be about 8 watts by Purple Extreme, Pro Gold, Finish Line, etc. And so it's free speed. We know it. The fastest race on it. We're world champions, and we're happy to talk about it. Thank you.
And we are.
No
world
problem.
Champion, world champion.
World champion, world champion. I'm in the presence of a world champion. That's awesome.
World champion.
World champion. Can you rub off for my race tomorrow? So anyway.
We just start there.
Start with the square loop. So we got square loop. Now, one thing is it's a wax base, right?
It is wax base.
So we make sure that chain is absolutely clean. They have a bio cleaner that will help get that off as well. Looking around here, too, I see this thing called a sweat sucker.
Yep, sweat sucker. Just keep the sweat off your eyes so you can see where you're going, because on single track, you better see where you're going. Isn't that correct?
Tomorrow, you got to spare one of those for tomorrow?
And I'll give you a true story.
Okay, go
because
for
we
it.
Come from Colorado, which is dry, so we don't really need to use it that much.
Right.
And we both went to Xterra Maui for Worlds, where the humidity and the heat almost cost me my race because it kept getting in my eyes on the race course. The good news is I still won. The bad news is I should have been wearing the sweat sucker.
That's an awesome. So if they want to find out more info about your products and everything you carry, I see you got a barrier balm. That looks like a...
Shaving cream and the BioBite cleaner. We have a cold temperature lube, which in California you wouldn't use too much. And we also have sealant for your tires for the mountain bikes. And these guys are all about the longest lasting. And one of the biggest aspects, and Californians will know it, is biodegradability. You know, it's responsible, we're all biodegradable, and we want to hang in with our environment as long as we can for our kids.
That's great. So I look forward to I'm going to try some of the squirt lube, and then I got to get you in on my tire sealant test, so we'll be in contact for that. And online, where are we going to find it? What's your website?
Squirtlube.us.
Squirtlube.us. And I'm going to take a picture when this is on. Take a look on Facebook, you guys, because you'll love this picture that I'm about to take. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to make it a surprise. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I'm still thinking about that picture, because after I took the picture and I realized what was going on in the picture, I go, I don't know if I really want to post that, but I'm sure if you do some searching, you can find it. It was they had some really neat stuff there. He had a really cool chart that showed all the tests on all the different lubricants out there, and theirs definitely was ranked the lowest. Now, you know, a little bit of head scratching there. We know that those lubes work very well, but it's all about the prep, okay? You definitely want to have a super clean new chain. The biodegradable cleaner will get everything off. You apply the squirt lube, good to go. So, works out pretty good testing it so far. And I have got no complaints. I can definitely feel myself having to lube the chain less. I just don't have that friction. You can tell, and you start hearing the chain. So it's a pretty neat lube, and like I said, I was in the presence of all the world champions. So it's funny, it's in. I'm looking at all these people going, they won this and champion here and champion of this and champion here, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm now majorly intimidated by the presence. So that was the Squirt Lube, and that was spelled S-K-U-R-T, Lube. So, yeah, that was, those were my recordings from the infamous Otter, the Sea Otter. So, hey, anybody who's been to Sea Otter, you guys start getting the emails ready to register and camping? I mean, we're almost, 9 months away, 10 months away. I mean, didn't Sea Otter just happen a couple months back? So they're already sending out. Talk about getting on it, huh? That's the Otter. Alrighty. Well, we're at 5:15 Pacific Standard Time in Los Angeles, California. It is probably right now as we speak. Oh. According to Siri... Hey, we're only at 84 degrees. Yeah, right. Anybody in LA right now knows it ain't 84 degrees in the sun. The humidity is just killing us right now. But as I said earlier, guys, it's warm. Guys and gals out there, it's warm. Drink, eat, be merry. Wait, yeah. eat, did I say that right? Drink, ride, be merry. Be safe out there, you guys. Know when it's not right. When you can't think anymore, such as me right now, after an hour on this air. It's one of your signs of a heat exhaustion, headache, inability to rationalize and think. You know, if you start having that, you're in the first signs of heat exhaustion, you know, nausea, dizziness, starts progressing. So, you know your signs. If you're out riding, it's hot, and you stumble upon somebody who's just cruising along, you know, say a quick word to them. Say, hey, how you doing? You know, and see if they respond back. If they don't respond back, and you know, they might need some guidance there to drink some water. Maybe eat some food, find some shade. You know, be a good Samaritan out there. Heat stroke. Remember, they stop sweating. They're glowing red. Look like they got a sunburn. Really can't understand what's going on. They cannot make any decisions. And, you know, you are not going to save them. You are going to call 911. You're going to say you have a heat emergency. That's no joke. Body starts to shut down, and it's just a matter of time. So heat exhaustion, you can treat cooling them down with water, getting them into some shade, things like that. Try not to drink cold water right away. Just, you know, not hot either, but something to start cooling them a bit. And, you know, be smart. Be smart, everybody. We don't want to hear of anybody going down in this heat. So, also, if you're on the trails, watch out for our little slithery friends on the road. I think the trail I hit last night, I counted at least 15 snake crossings. Luckily, I didn't get to encounter any. But some of them were pretty fresh, you can tell. So they're out. You know, they're out there. They're out in the brush. They're out in the shade. what's the rule? Don't be third in line. Because the first person pisses them off. Second person, they're still getting pissed off. And the third person, they finally go, okay, I'm having this one. So it's kind of a running joke, but if you look at all the snake bite history, it's the third person in line, so don't be third, or at least give yourself some time. But seriously, you know, be careful out there. Read up. You know, our snakes here, most of them are pretty docile, and they'll retreat, but the rattlers can, you piss them off, they can go after you. So they're just protecting themselves. They don't know what they're doing. Try not to kill them. But respect them. You're in their land, so most of us are pretty good about it. But be careful, seriously. Watch where you put your hands. Watch where you put your feet. Jumping over logs, jumping over rocks. They're chilling in the shade. Make sure you make some noise. Have a bell on your bike, so you don't startle anything. You know, so all the critters are coming out, and they all want to play. So make sure that you are aware of your surroundings when you're up in the mountains. Alrighty, well, another show has come and gone. So let's see, what are we going to leave you with today? This is Robert, Bike Sport Radio, and wishing you all a good time out on the roads. Rolling. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling, right. Through rain and wind and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my girl was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good fiddles love and kissing are waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw hide. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, ride 'em in, let 'em out, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, raw. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving.